everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode features interviews with Vice Sports' Rob Rousseau and Deadspin's David Bixenspan. Originally released November 1st, 2017, here's episode 62 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel. It is Wednesday, November 1st, 2018.
Nailed it, because last night was
Halloween. Nope, I didn't. It's 2017.
Damn it.
I screwed it up. We've been doing this for a little over a year. It is day what of the Trump Universal Championship?
285.
285. What a run.
Yeah.
I don't think anything
breaking records.
I don't think anything will be as shocking as our episode we recorded early on the morning on November 9th, 2016.
Good times. Good times.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't done this in a little while, but it is still a podcast about the intersections of professional wrestling and presidential politics. We wrote a book about that called The Donald. So we can catch up. There's been...
For more on that subtitle, go to presidentwrestler.com or donaldtrumpisawrestler.com. Let's get some more plugs out. We have two interviews this show, rather than one. We have Rob Rousseau from Vice News, and we have David Bixenspan from Deadspin. Those are gentlemen that write about the Squared Circle and things related to the Squared Circle. So the Vice News piece is all about how the Ultimate Warrior is maybe... not the ultimate choice for the Susan G. Komen Foundation, because, you know, the history of bigotry, racism, sexism, homophobia, etc.
Right.
And then we talked to David Bixenspan a little bit about his most current piece, Jesus Christ, his current piece in Deadspin about the potential wrestling angle in the Kennedy assassination.
Because Trump just declassified some more Kennedy assassination files.
Still real to him, damn it. On with the show.
All right, so the big news is that we finally had some news. There were indictments this week in the Mueller investigation. Mueller was brought on May 17th. It took only until October 30th, which by all accounts is actually pretty quick as far as these things go, for there to be indictments over the people we knew that would be indicted.
Jinder Mahal has been championed longer than Robert Mueller has been working on this case.
Well, it feels like Jinder Mahal has been champion for 18 years. So, yes, that is a shorter amount of time. Indicted on Monday, October 30th, were both Manafort and Gates. I just forgot Gates' first name, but it doesn't matter because he got indicted for conspiracy and money laundering and all these other great charges. But we knew this was coming. Everyone kind of knew this was coming with Paul Manafort. When you have a secret ledger full of millions of dollars in illegal payments from Russia, pro-Russian Ukrainians, you're probably taking the fall on this one. But Mueller is running this kind of like how you would run. You guys ever seen The Wire? It's like that. You go for the small fish and get them to flip on the big fish. Manafort, maybe not, but Gates apparently has a young family. You can use that against him. So, I mean, this is just the first step. But these are, you know, it's important, but it's it wasn't shocking.
Side note that somewhat relates to all this and wrestling. How much money is enough money for you as a human being? How much money would you have to just be like, I'm good forever, or until I die, clearly, because that's how time works. But
right.
Where it's F you money. So let's say you're John Cena.
Yes.
And you actually don't want to wrestle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're one of these guys in the Trump administration. You're getting paid off possibly from other governments
right.
to lobby. How much money do you need to be happy forever and not worry?
I don't know. I've never thought of it. I don't play these hypotheticals.
It's an interesting thing because, like, if you have $6 million, let's say $6 million,
if you're the $6 million man,
you can, in theory, if you're the bionic redneck, you could pay off all previous debt, live comfortably in theory, mm-hmm. as long as you have a modest spending habits, pay off your family, your in-laws, etc., everything, and be fine and not have to take shit from a guy like Trump or Vince.
Right.
How much money did you see the conflicting reports from these indictments about how much money he was reporting, how much money Manafort was reporting? Like
millions.
It was like $10 million, yeah. And then $110 million, like $68 million. How much money do you have? How much money are you hiding in rugs?
Yeah.
That's interesting to
me.
Well,
my rug budget is out of control. Someone who understands budgets and the economy can reach out. I'd really appreciate it. But no, these are staggering amounts of money, but these are carnies who wanted to shake down the government and shake down other governments. They've been doing this for... Manafort's been doing this for a long time.
Here's the thing, though. Stone Cold could have been doing this for a long time. I think he had enough FU money mm-hmm. to be like, I'm good. I don't need this anymore in my right. life. I'm going to go live comfortably on my ranch with my third wife.
Yes, and do podcasts brought to you by Casper Mattresses.
Yeah.
Did you read that article about Casper Mattress?
About how it's all... they plug it within this... It's all bullshit.
They buy the review sites.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Speaking of buying the review sites, did you see the ad on SmackDown on the bottom of the screen?
No.
During the first segment of the show? It's all about how some writers at BuzzFeed are going to try to play like WWE wrestlers at the Performance Center. You know, BuzzFeed, the outlet that actually does good journalism when it comes to politics,
that
you
actually
think they're going
to
do
put
good,
out the Steele dossier?
You think they're actually going to do good journalism now related to the WWE and how it relates to Trump?
Probably not, because it's all gag.
God damn it.
It's good gag. Also, in this net, we found out that another Trump advisor, George Papadopoulos from Central Greek Casting, he also was arrested for lying to the FBI. He was a foreign relations advisor. Trump named him in a Washington Post article, said he was a great guy about a year ago. Now he's never met him, never met the guy. He's just a young, confused little boy who was a volunteer who was on the campaign.
How soon is it until there's a second photo of the two of them?
Probably by the time we publish this.
Oh, yeah. What time is it? It's like 8:30 in the morning.
Yes. Papadopoulos, this is another interesting thing. The way he's referred to in the indictments suggests that he's a cooperating witness, which would mean he possibly wore a wire. Another young guy. I don't think he has a young family, but, you know, maybe he doesn't want to go to jail for the rest of his life to protect Donald Trump and the Republican establishment.
Fun fact.
Where's Chris, he from?
Chicago, CM Punk. Okay, so.
Parts unknown.
This dude came from Chicago, from the northwest suburbs. Not that far from CM Punk. From Cole Cabana country, actually. And
near Rosemont?
Near the where we have our Chicago street fights. Here's a quick plug. Cole Cabana will be on the next episode of You, Me, Them, Everybody, recorded live in Chicago on Wednesday, November 15th, moving back to Papadopoulos. DePaul University is his alma mater.
Who else went there?
That's where I went.
Oh, my God. Did you guys ever... Did you cross paths
with
this young man?
We did not. I graduated 05 because I'm a real adult, and he graduated 09, so we just missed each other. Yeah. We had a lot of the same professors. One of those professors was on NPR this morning saying, this guy's a real dummy.
Yeah. Back to Cole Cabana. When I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago, I saw a billboard with Cole Cabana on it.
There are many.
For T-shirts, right?
Yeah, one-hour tees. They're all up and down the highway, so if you're... Yeah. Going to O'Hare ever, you're going to see Colt Cabana on a billboard. It's pretty cool.
Party. So that's the big news. That's the big show, I should say. We buried that lead. But Trump and the Republicans and Fox News, their propaganda arm, are doing what they do best. They are doing misdirection. They're obfuscating on this. Manafort gets indicted. They respond with, well, what about Hillary? They try to make the big thing that it's both sides do it. One of the Podesta brothers stepped down, tangentially connected to all this stuff because he worked with Manafort, which was publicly known a year ago when we first talked about this, a year and a half ago. There's no smoke there or fire, to paraphrase Secretary Clinton, but this is clearly what they're going to try to do. Just say both sides do it. A lot of people were talking to Russia. Who knows what happened? And then pardon whoever needs to be pardoned.
One little quick aside here. Doesn't it seem like the Trump administration is under siege?
Hashtag under siege.
It's my favorite thing in the WWE right now is there's no consensus on how to say under siege.
Siege or siege?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's real weird.
It's like the coup de grace, but some of them say coup de grace.
Coup de grace?
Coup de grace because they don't know how to speak French.
Secondly, speaking of fire and smoke, Kane's back.
Yeah, are we going right to wrestling? Because I had some other stuff.
This is related to politics.
Yeah, I know, because Kane is back and he's getting a push.
But so Kane is still running.
I know. No, that's no. That's Glenn Jacobs.
Oh, I apologize.
Kane is the devil's favorite demon. He's a different guy.
All right, let's stay in the political arena.
Yeah, I just wanted. I had this list when we were supposed to record sometime in the last month of all the feuds that Trump had in the last month. Or last couple months now. The NFL, Puerto Rico, Rocket Man, Senators, Corker and Flake, Tillerson, his own Secretary of State, NBC, who he threatened to take their license away, you know, as part of the fake media in general, fake news, Frederica Wilson, and Gold Star families. Frederica Wilson, who I think a lot of people in the back and forth over what Trump said or didn't say to that Gold Star widow. No, not enough people mentioned that Frederica Wilson dresses exactly like Randy Savage. And I think that was a missed opportunity there.
Also, isn't she Florida?
Yeah.
Isn't that where Savage died?
Probably. Good connection. Maybe reincarnated? I don't know. It's spooky. It's still Halloween in the air. With these feuds kind of kept things going for a month. Now we're in indictment land. The tax bill that the GOP is trying to pass... Who knows what's happening?
Did you just say we're in indictment land?
Yeah. It's a new place. So the tax bill,
That's parts unknown.
Parts unknown. What is
indictment land.
Indictment land. I thought it was the taxes were in parts unknown because we don't know what's happening with this tax bill. These indictments have really affected the GOP's ability to totally gut the tax bill so that their friends don't have to pay taxes. And it's a real shame. I think that's what they're there for, and they haven't been able to do what they're there for. But we'll see how this all plays out. Like we said, day 285, coming up 1 week from the anniversary of the election, my birthday. That'll be my birthday forever. So I think it's time to get back to WWE, because that's pretty much where we are at day 285, politically. And so much, of all those feuds, so much more has happened in the WWE since the last time we did this, which is not usually true. Because it's football season, WWE is usually coasting until Royal Rumble, but various things cause them to change plans. So here's some of the things that have happened in the last month or so. So the Shield's back, kind of. That was pretty big.
Yes. What to say, because like they're not really back. They're not really not back.
They're not the good guy. They're not a bad guy. They're just not back, because Roman Reigns has mumps. Which caused them to, on the fly, rebook their last pay-per-view, replacing him with Kurt Angle, who made his WWE return after 11 years of never wrestling anywhere else. Definitely not TNA. I thought they got over this TNA thing with AJ, because AJ was out there talking about TNA on Stone Cold's podcast on the network.
Also, Booker is doing commentary for the same show, referencing the fact that he used to wrestle against Samoa Joe not that long ago.
The asterisk with Booker T is, because he's running for office. No, actually, I don't know how they're letting him go out there every week and say what. Not only does he, like...
Are they not listening to his mic?
I don't think so. I don't think... Well, you know how some people say they don't see color? I don't think Vince
don't
can hear color. commentary. Color commentary is what I meant. But Booker T is out there not only, like, healing and being faced from sentence to sentence, but he's also like breaking kayfabe from sentence to sentence. It's kind of amazing, because I honestly think he's gonna punch Cole in the face, because Cole keeps going like, all right, Booker, whatever you say, buddy. And one of these times he's gonna get like, it's gonna be like that Marino clip, and he's just gonna freak the fuck out and murder Michael Cole.
It's the first time where I'm not happy that I'm probably gonna support a wrestler in a major political election.
What do you mean support? Like,
I thought we had an agreement that we were always behind Trump because he's in the Hall of Fame. And once you're in the Hall of Fame, you have to be behind Trump.
That's what we have to do? Yeah. I need some receipts on that one. Also, since we last spoke, a heel turn that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. Sami Zayn teamed up with his best friend, Kevin Owens.
I saw this coming. We've talked about this since the election that I saw this coming.
Oh, because he... As a
real-life human being, has raised money for Syrian refugees. It's one of the most evil things you could do
in
the WWE.
So, but even though that is not part of his kayfabe character, that he raises money. His character on WWE programming is likes to skank and wear page.
Which you've also argued that that's an evil thing to do.
No, he's actually done the skanking in an evil, ironic way now. It's kind of amazing because he goes out there. It's sloppy, but then he like, yeah, and he like just taps the drum beat out. He dances dance battle Shane.
It's more like a dad doing it.
Yes. It's definitely, he's skanking as a heel now. So they're over on SmackDown against the evil authority figure, Shane, who I guess we're supposed to root for. Kane, as we said, is back. Kane's getting a push. Kane has, he's beaten Finn Balor up a couple times. He beat up 2/3 of the Shield. He put my favorite wrestler into a garbage truck. Or he helped do it. He helped do it. Yeah, Kane looks real strong right now, which is good because you really want Kane to be strong. All these, forget all this new talent. Asuka made her WWE debut, main roster debut. She had a couple matches with Emma, who we'll get to in a second. And then on Monday, she beat the crap out of local talent in Baltimore. Stephanie McMahon's back. Also, rumors, and I can't find it, it's when one of the podcast you have to pay for, but there's rumors that Stephanie is looking for to get into politics.
This
as well.
Is one of those rumors where it's like, of course.
Yeah.
This is what everything's been leading up to this.
Yeah, this is why Susan G. Komen, why the ropes are pink for a month, why they've teamed up with the other cancer thing they like doing.
The other cancer thing they like doing.
Which that one is actually okay. I wouldn't buy any Connor's Cure merch, but it doesn't seem as evil as Susan G. Komen.
I mean, at the end of the day, isn't the Connor's Cure stuff just like, let's just make these kids happy at the end of the day?
Sure.
And let's give some money for cancer research.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. I'm with you, WWE.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't want the kids to die.
I mean, I know.
Controversial statement, don't want the kids to die.
That's the least controversial thing you've said. It's amazing. But there's also been some, that's all the people coming back, all the things happening. It's also been a weird time as people are leaving or reportedly leaving. Neville is on the shelf and probably not going to be returning to WWE TV. Reportedly upset with his booking and having to lose to a guy who can't wrestle in Enzo. And not just that. I don't think it was actually the booking. I think it was the fact that they told him, and I mean, it seems clear, he's other from the neck up, he doesn't look like a guy they're going to push. And he was kind of told, work on your promos, have a character, do all that, which he did over the last year. This King Neville thing, the evil heel champion, which was awesome. He did everything they said, and then they're still like, yeah, well, now you're going to lose the belt, and then you're going to be on main event. You know, so I think it was the fact that his match was off the DVD, which cost him royalties. It's a lot of the stuff you hear from a lot of the guys. It's just I think from Punk and from Rhodes especially, like, or in Ryback even, when they see you as like, here's the role you have on this show, no matter what they tell you, there's no getting, like, moving, leveling up. Once they see you as a cruiserweight champion or a guy who, just another guy, you're just another guy. So Neville, they'll probably sit out his contract. Actually released from the WWE, Emma, Summer Rae, Darren Young. Emma's probably the one that was the most wasted potential. Because she could actually wrestle. And she had a good character, and then they immediately undercut it. And were
you
like,
and I Emelina. Really liked the Darren Young storyline last year.
Was it? Yeah.
And it's clear why they didn't use it. Mm-hmm. So I think he also had a lot of potential. I also disagree with your Neville statements. I agreed with your wife last night about this.
What?
Chatting about Neville. Yeah, Neville was handicapped by a lot of these things, but like, do what Miz is doing. Like, use social media. There's always something you can do to elevate your character, to make you relevant.
No,
and Miz is the greatest example of that.
Miz is the one example of that, is the problem. Because, like, other guys have done that.
Zack Ryder.
Yeah, where's Zack Ryder?
He stopped doing that stuff. That's on him.
Even when he did it, he got his reward was getting pushed off the stage in a wheelchair.
By John Cena.
Got the rub. He got cucked and pushed off the stage. John Cena's been cucking guys since before it was cool, all right? So
that t-shirt will be available very soon.
Yeah, here's hoping. I don't know. I think it very much like they'll throw them a bone for doing stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, they have your role and you do it. You know your role, basically.
I was waiting for you to realize what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you. I have to finish this coffee. No, but Emma had a really good character, especially when she was teamed up with Dana Brooke in NXT. Her, like, evil cop with, you know, the shades and the leather gloves. Like, it was a good character. She's strong in the ring, but they just didn't see it for her, and they dicked her around. And she got hurt, and then apparently didn't want to be Emelina.
So how much money is enough money to leave?
Well, here's the thing. The women don't have, like, we'll get to this with you know, our friend of the show, Dolph Ziggler. These guys, you know, the men, where the indie scene is at this moment, they can make a living, okay? The Young Bucks have shirts in Hot Topic, okay? They're making some money. And there's a lot of avenues and around the world for men to make money. Women is not so much. Not like, there's maybe some places they can actually wrestle, but not, they're not getting paid at the same
level.
Hold
on. I know this is a stretch, but are you saying the WWE is a mirror of society?
Yes, I am. I think that's what we've been saying this whole time.
So, okay, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, but how much money do you think they have? Right now, how much money do you think Emma has in the bank?
I don't know. She doesn't have the money in the bank, Brandon. Carmella has that.
How much money do you think Carmella has in the bank right now? She's on her, what, second year of her contract in the main roster, yeah. First year?
Yeah, like...
$100,000?
That'd be lucky.
She does not have FU money.
She doesn't have $100,000, but that's cute.
Emma was in the company for a little bit longer.
Yeah, but they remember, like, how they are paid and that their expenses all come out and that they're independent contractors with one, you know, client.
I do know that. I do understand.
I don't think that Emma has... I don't think Emma's living large or has much in the bank. I think she has to go figure out work yesterday.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I think Summer Rae, like, maybe because she has, like, more legit, she's been doing more legit modeling stuff. Maybe there's some.
And Summer Rae was in the company a lot longer.
Yes. I mean, I don't think they're going to be homeless, but I think they need to figure out work in their early 30s. I think anybody who loses their job in their early 30s should probably get a new job because capitalism. It's great.
All right.
So, anyway, like you said, hashtag under siege, SmackDown invaded Raw because of their long dislike of the color red, and they really like the color blue. Apparently, that segment was all pre-recorded, the beatdowns in the backstage area, and they allegedly had to redo it because Vince was like, lay in the punches for real. We have to make people think this is, like, legit. You really don't like the color red. So they had to reshoot one of the little things because someone did a worked punch. So Vince really likes this idea. Under Siege, so the idea is that Survivor Series, it'll be brand versus brand, even though they're the same fucking company. The champion versus champion, even though they have all heel champions, basically. So it's like nothing really makes sense. The only face champion is the 2/3 of the Shield.
And even they're sort of tweeners.
Yeah, I mean, we're still waiting for one of those guys to turn again, or turn for the first time in Ambrose's case. So it's a weird card. It's almost like if they were going to have their champions clash, they should have waited 1 month till Clash of the Champions.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, when on a show when no champions will be clashing. So instead we get Survivor Series, we get people vying for the right to... fight for the right. I don't know. So on SmackDown, there's been some matches to determine who's going to be on their team. Zayn lost his to Randy Orton. Nakamura beat Owens. Bobby Roode, this new kid on the block,
won. This new 40-year-old on the block.
Did you see Dolph's promo?
From last night?
I don't know. I think maybe it's an after-show one. But so Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. Bobby Roode got the inaugural. You know, he got to do the Ziggler feud that everyone coming up gets. Corbin got it. Nakamura got it. And you have to go through, like, the first, like, the level one boss is Dolph Ziggler. And you get the same match every time. And Bobby Roode won.
Hold on. That match is pretty good.
That match is very cromulent. It is a match. Like, it's just a match. And they do them wrong all the time because Dolph needs to be a babyface in peril, not a heel who flops around like a fish. It doesn't make any sense. So, and the fact that Roode is a face is ridiculous.
You're getting hung up on stuff.
No, it doesn't make any sense in the story. You build this guy up. He's supposed to be, look at him. He's a heel, and they're making him be the face. So he had a 2 out of 3 falls match, which sadly I couldn't watch because I couldn't get streaming.
All right, it wasn't bad.
So after the show, Ziggler put over Roode a bit and said, you know, I thought I brought everything, but this kid's really good. Meanwhile, Bobby Roode is 3 years older than him and also 40 years old.
To be clear, though, is he an adult in the eyes of Fox News?
No, he's like, he's never met him. He's just some volunteer.
Okay.
Bobby Roode's just a young volunteer. They also do that on Raw. Booker was calling, and obviously Booker is a little older, but he was calling Finn Balor like this kid, and he's like, I know he looks like a little twink, but he's like 37 years old. He's been doing this for 20 years. Anyway, Bob Roode, after that, Ziggler's promo was basically, maybe I should quit. And this was I'm just thinking, if he actually does do what has been rumored for years, let his contract run out. If he goes on the indies as Nick Nemeth and does his Michaels impersonation for like a year or so, that's going to draw people. Ziggler did have smarky fans for a long time until storylines have turned people on him the last couple of years. And so mm-hmm. he could make good money
mm-hmm.
and he can be on Fox News and he can do all this and he can be at, you know, Coconuts in Des Moines, you know, like he can do his.
Are you referencing the record store Coconuts?
Comedy club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like I worked at Coconuts.
In Des Moines. So he's got income streams. He'll be fine. So I do hope he retires so that he will be fine and make room for other
people. Is that going to happen?
Who knows? It's been rumored for every time it comes up, and he's a company man.
He is really not bad. Every 6 months or so, there's one match where like, oh, he's really good. And especially if you watch it on mute.
Sure. But that he had a really good storyline with Miz last year. When he put his career on the line. Yeah. And they had some really good matches and then just kind of went nowhere and goes back to this kind of a heel. I'm kind of breaking the fourth wall, but not clever enough to pull it off.
So is Dolph Ziggler the most enigmatic? Am I using that word correctly?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Finish the sentence.
I don't think I am. He is the most representative of this entire era of the WWE.
Yeah, then you weren't using it correctly.
I was not.
Yeah. Yes.
Ziggler is everything. He's pretty good in-ring product.
Mm-hmm.
Promos are a little lacking. He's definitely borrowing a lot from the past. He's definitely living below his potential, but he's still better than most every other option.
And he's reached for the brass ring time and time again, got the fans behind him, and been given nothing. So, yes, he's very much, he's just the guy who didn't leave yet.
Yeah.
But,
and he leans slightly to the right.
Yeah, and he's a libertarian, so he's definitely in line with the WWE. I hope that era is over because we are clearly living in the age of Braun.
The age of
man is over. It's now the age of Braun. Braun Strowman this year. Braun versus vehicles. Braun versus people. He's just everything I've liked about wrestling this year has been Braun Strowman. Remember when he tipped over an ambulance with a guy inside it?
See, that's like top five to me, but that's not even close to number one. I still think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is like making me super happy.
Well, I mean,
more
Festival
than
of Friendship. Festival of Friendship was the number one thing.
Is that this year?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's number one.
Yes.
Number two is right now Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. I would prefer over Braun.
You know, sometimes you can be wrong, Brandon. It's okay. Braun Strowman lived in a garbage can for a week, or garbage truck, came out, ran across the top of a limo, threw three men around like they were small children, which you shouldn't throw small children around, but he gave like five power slams to Curtis Axel through a table. Congrats, son of Hall of Famer, Mr. Perfect. Just they shot that sequence like a horror film, which they do occasionally. It's hilarious every time they do it when they break their own camera rules. Braun's awesome. And Braun's actually a good promo and good in ring. And he has the fans behind him. And he's clearly, it's the closest thing, not on the scale, but he's the anti-hero. It's what Austin did. You know, he got over healing. People were doing the Braun, like, screaming his own name thing in Baltimore with a real shit crowd. Even they were
on board. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that he's actually under 30.
Yes.
And he seems like he has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And he's got a real questionable tattoo that says Country Strong.
It could be worse.
Exactly.
Could be a Confederate flag.
And I do like that he's on Tinder.
He also, as he revealed on a podcast, he uses like the Where I've Pooped app, which is basically Foursquare for pooping. I think it's great.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I can't remember whose podcast it was, but he's great. Braun is what they want Roman to be. He's already over, but you know, he's not Roman Reigns. He's not the guy. But it is the age of Braun. I think it's the most entertaining part of Raw every week is whatever Braun is doing.
Could we do some Survivor Series potential fantasy booking here?
Well, obviously, it's already been fantasy booked. Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar is the match we all wanted to see. My note says, Jinder, Brock, LOL.
The only reason I mention this is because they're bringing back Daniel Bryan in a kayfabe wrestling role.
Yes, on Monday, he showed up at Raw.
Exactly.
He was choke slammed in the dark by Kane. Not Glenn Jacobs, Kane.
So in storyline, he could take a bump.
Yes, but we all know very much in real life he cannot.
Okay, but he doesn't think that.
Oh, no, no. I mean, he can't because they won't let him
exactly.
In their contract.
Okay. They're setting this up where clearly there's a split between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly setting this up where it's going to be Kevin and Sammy versus the Team SmackDown.
Sure.
So why not add actually good wrestler Dolph Ziggler to that faction and former wrestler Daniel Bryan to that faction and have like the actual wrestlers versus the SmackDown superstars?
And who are the SmackDown superstars?
I don't even... Kevin Orton, Jesus Christ. Randy Orton's Nakamura, mm-hmm. Shane... Who else is there? Oh, and Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Versus them. It makes perfect sense. And that way you get to keep Daniel Bryan. You have him make it seem like he's going to go to the Indies. You could.
Yeah. The thing is Daniel Bryan is not going to actually wrestle in a WWE ring. But I don't know. They put Kurt... Well, here's the thing. Like, Kurt, I think they know... If Kurt kills his family, they can blame... They'll just play footage. They'll blame TNA. They've got 10 years or however many years he was there doing stupid bumps on a broken neck.
They could blame Ring of Honor then for Daniel Bryan.
No, that was before. He did a lot of... All the headbutts. You do a montage of all the flying goat headbutts. It's all WWE. So I think they know if he kills Brie and Birdie, that's on them. But if Kurt Angle kills his family...
Dark.
If he kills his son, Jason Jordan... Yes, got it. Got it. If he kills his son, Jason Jordan, they can blame it on TNA. It's dark, but this is how they think, clearly. It's how they've done stuff since Chris Benoit for a decade. No, I don't think... I think there's some interesting angles there, and however interesting it is, that's why they will not do it. I think they're building towards... It's Shane versus Stephanie, as it always is. It's going to be Angle versus Triple H at WrestleMania, which I'm of two minds. I'm like... Let him have a less great match with a wrestler who matters, or put the two 50-year-old guys in the special attraction match and let the wrestlers wrestle each other. So I don't even care anymore.
I'm rooting for no one dying early.
In the match?
Either one.
Okay.
Just I don't want to see it. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, no one wants to see... A lot of people want to see a snuff film at WrestleMania.
There you go.
Yeah.
The House of Horrors.
Yeah, the House of Horrors. The age of Braun. The age of Kurt is over. He died.
Is there anything else?
Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, God.
Catch up on the Fashion Files. I think the most consistently, there's been a couple of bad episodes, but the most consistently fun part of
second
wrestling.
Favorite part of wrestling in 2017, the Fashion Files.
Fashion Files.
Brazonga. Number one, Festival of Friendship, then this, then Kevin Sammy, then maybe Braun.
What about Roman? Don't forget about Roman.
I don't know what the New Day did last night might be in the top five.
The New Day coming out of Halloween as Akeem the African Dream, Jimmy Mouth the South Heart, and Brother Love. Which, by the way, Kofi was in red face?
He was in red face!
That's and kind of problematic, but you know we're just going to let it be.
Also, the feud was based around the fact that Rusev didn't want to celebrate Halloween.
It's a day for dumb kids.
He wanted
it's
to
not
celebrate
Rusev Day. Which is every day can be Rusev Day. No, so you
That's
have to catch up on...
That's the most fun.
Rusev's great. We all know this. And he keeps... When all the people are getting fired, he basically did like, if I go, I go. Rusev would do great. But no, the Bludgeon Brothers, which is basically just Luke Harper and Eric Rowan with Thor hammers cutting fucking nonsense
so
Warhammer
bad.
Promos.
It's so bad.
Like, cutting... Like, using dialogue cut from Game of Thrones that was like even too stupid for Game of Thrones. But it looks like they're going to at least debut against Breezango at some point, which will be fun because Breezango is so over now and they can do a good match. They can do a comedy match, whatever you need.
The only way this ends well is if they give them a makeover.
I thought that one before they debuted in vignettes as Bludgeon Brothers, that's where I kind of saw this going was the Harper thing. Cause Harper's got the the beard. He's got the stained white t-shirt.
And then, so then Breezango gives him a makeover.
Yes.
And it's just, everyone looks fabulous.
I think they could, they give them like, they trim their beards, they give them these cool leather outfits, and then they still kick their ass. I think that'd be amazing. Yeah, that's fantasy booking.
All right, anything else?
No, but as you kick to your interviews, it's something I saw today, like a new little wrinkle in this, in the Ultimate Warrior stuff. A lot of the controversy has been things he wrote on his blog.
Yes.
That blog is no longer on archive.org.
That's new.
Or at least some of the posts. So we can follow up online on that one. But
that is interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whitewashing continues. But just remember, fuck Ultimate Warrior and fuck Susan G. Komen Foundation.
I don't understand how people think they could just, like, pretend stuff never happened. And I know that's, like, the dumbest thing to say considering what's going on.
Yeah. No, I mean, you should definitely not grab people by the pussy, Brandon. Don't pretend things that don't happen.
All right, so it goes in order. Rob, then David, and you could tell who's talking because there's gong separating the interviews. So you're clearly a wrestling fan.
Yeah. You could say that for sure.
How long have you known about the Warrior stuff? Because I'm 34, and he was my guy. And then I got older, and I actually went to DePaul University and remember this. And by that point, completely wrote him off. So none of this is surprising to me, but it seems to actually be shocking to a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm also 34, and he was also my guy, you know, when I was getting into wrestling when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I was, you know, I was also extremely online in, like, the mid-2000s as well. So I remember I remember hearing about this stuff when it was happening. And again, similarly, I also just said, wow, so to hell with that guy. And I always kind of remembered that. And it's stuck with me all through this time. And the reason I wanted to write the piece is because, you know, there's kind of a, when they brought him back into the fold and inducted a Warrior into the Hall of Fame, you know, I still remembered all that stuff. I found it a little bit distasteful, but, you know, as I said in the piece, if it had been left at that, I probably wouldn't have raised a stink about it. You know, you can make the case that Warrior belongs in the Hall of Fame, regardless of that period of his career where he wasn't affiliated with WWE. You know, I don't necessarily agree, but like I said, I wouldn't raise a big commotion about it. It's their insistence on attaching this kind of philanthropic charity marketing and incorporating his image into all that and continuing to expand it and hammer on it. That's what I really take issue with. And I guess this month was just the breaking point for me where they incorporated again into their partnership with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. And I said, okay, this is just ridiculous that they're continuing to do this. I can't believe no one has called them out on this. It's just shocking to me that this is going to turn into a PR disaster for them.
Do you know why he spoke out against Bobby the Brain Heenan? Because that was the one thing in your piece that I had no idea about. I had no idea that he had ill will towards one of the most beloved members of the wrestling community.
Yeah, I know exactly why. It's because when they made that DVD in, I think, 2005, the kind of burying him, the DVD, I can't remember exactly the name of it.
No, exactly. I think it's called The Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, something like that. And so when they put that out, I think Heenan was on that DVD and probably had some not so nice things to say about him, along with whoever else was in it. So I think that's why he had held some kind of grudge against Heenan. But, you know, there's a difference between burying someone in a wrestling context and, like, openly gloating when you find out that they're suffering from cancer and basically telling them they deserve it and you're looking forward for them to die. You know, that's not really a wrestling promo. That kind of goes above and beyond. And it's especially hypocritical when they fold this guy's likeness into their cancer awareness charity. Like, it's just unbelievable that they thought that this was a good idea and that no one was going to call them out on this. It's pretty ridiculous.
The Brain thing is even more interesting because without Bobby the Brain Heenan, the Rick Rude feud with Warrior that elevated him to the Hulk Hogan status, you don't have that. You need Bobby the Brain to get Ultimate Warrior at this level where they're still using him for the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Yeah, no, it's just it's completely petty, vindictive, just something that would only be ever said by just a truly revolting person.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then so for them to then after that, and knowing this, but like presumably they must know about all this stuff. I mean, it seems insane to me that they wouldn't. Still deciding, no, yeah, we're gonna. This is the guy we're gonna choose to represent all our corporate, not all, but a huge chunk of our corporate philanthropical marketing that we're doing. It just seems so short-sighted and brainless and weird.
This piece is all about Ultimate Warrior, but a different WWE, former WWE superstar has spoken out against the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and that's CM Punk. Was there any thought about bringing Punk's complaints into this piece?
I really just wanted to focus on the relationship with Warrior. I didn't want. I know there's stuff about Susan G. Komen, about how they don't the allocation of funds, and how it's really like if you were choosing a cancer charity to work with, they're a pretty awful choice. But that's not really ultimately what this piece is about. I mean, the only thing is it does call into question their judgment as well if they're associating with this company and with this character. With this kind of stuff they said on the record. And I actually reached out to them for this piece to see if they wanted to comment on it, because it seems like that's a newsworthy story if they are, like, whether or not they're aware of these comments that he made. I mean, to me, it's pretty significant. So I did reach out to them, and they didn't respond to me. But I did hear from WWE fairly quickly afterwards.
I'm really surprised that Dana Warrior even had a statement to you.
Yeah, I was surprised, but I mean, it's, you know, they must have known something like this was coming. And, once they knew that I was writing the story, they kind of suggested that a statement from both might be forthcoming. And then, finally they did both respond.
You're clearly a wrestling fan. I'm clearly a wrestling fan. This doesn't seem to ever go away. We're probably going to have to live with the Ultimate Warrior until we're dead. What do you hope actually happens? Do you see any possible changes?
Well, it 100% depends on how much this snowballs into a bigger PR issue for them. Because, I mean, so this article did get shared quite a bit. It made a few headlines around the sort of pro wrestling community, but it hasn't really snowballed to anything bigger than that. I think what they would like to do is just ignore that it's going on, put up their statement, and just continue doing what they're doing. Ultimately, what I would like for them to happen is I would like them to slowly move away from using this guy in their branding when it comes to this philanthropic marketing that they do. It was a stupid idea to begin with. There's plenty more people in the history of the company that you could use for those kind of roles. And as I said, I don't have a problem with him being in the Hall of Fame, with having his content on the network and stuff like that. I find it a little bit distasteful, but, you know, I think you can make that argument that it belongs there. What I don't think they should be doing is to continue to use his likeness as part of this charity, philanthropy, altruistic, corporate stuff that they do. I think it's really inappropriate. It's distasteful. And it's just a really stupid PR disaster just waiting for them to happen at any time. I mean, they've got WrestleMania coming up in New Orleans, and this guy made really disparaging remarks about victims of Hurricane Katrina. It's just extremely dumb for them to continue to associate with this guy on this level, and that's what I hope they stop doing.
Are you still watching the product?
Not really. I mean, I'm, you know, as I said, I'm 34 years old. I've got kids. I just don't have 8 hours per week or whatever to absorb all the content that they put out. It's just an insane amount of wrestling to have to watch. I try to watch the pay-per-views. I do keep up with NXT because that's easier to follow along on a week-by-week basis because it's just an hour per week. It's not this huge commitment. And I do keep up on the highlights, but okay. I have been pretty disengaged with the product.
Do you let your children watch?
I've got a son who's 12 years old, he's my stepson, and I kind of have been trying to get him into wrestling for a few years, and he's just not really into it. Sometimes he watches it with me just kind of out of, like, to be nice to me, but he just doesn't seem that interested in it. And I have a 2-year-old son, and I'll probably encourage him to watch it just so I have someone to watch it with, you know?
When your son is older, when your 2-year-old is a little bit older and he actually maybe likes wrestling, who do you hope he gravitates towards? If you're watching the pay-per-views, I'm assuming you know all the current roster, and you clearly know the roster if you're in an NXT. Whose guy do you want him to be?
It's tough to say because, you know, talking about wrestling, that it does, there are a lot of kind of shadier characters that populate the whole thing. I'm just like, I'm totally drawing a blank right now, of course, because I'm put on the spot when I'm talking to you. Like, if Daniel Bryan was still around, he would absolutely be one of them, because he's a wrestling character that I really think, you know, is a really great role model. But in terms of guys now, I mean, there's guys like New Day who are really entertaining for kids, and I think a positive crew to respond to, guys like Chad Gable.
I am really glad that you brought up Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I actually tweeted in this article, because I was like, I know he can't comment on this, but I think, like, because he was kind of tied into this whole first Warrior Award thing of giving this out. I'm not sure his awareness level of what this stuff is, so I kind of wanted to see if I could get him to check it out, and who knows if he did. But,
well, it's fascinating because clearly the guy that you should replace Warrior with is Daniel Bryan, but you can't have him do that since they won't let him wrestle for medical reasons, and he will clearly wrestle in the next year or two due to medical reasons outside of the WWE. So,
yeah, it seems like it.
Would you let your child wrestle or play American football or play any sports that might cause some CTE?
Probably not, knowing what we know now. I mean, I'm in Canada where hockey is really popular, and I wouldn't let my kids play hockey. Wrestling, you know, I love wrestling. I love the stories, the physicality of it. I've actually like hung out at a wrestling school for another story that I did for Vice Sports, and I know how physically demanding it is and how hard it is. And of course, you know, there is a way to wrestle safely and avoid these kinds of injuries. I think, you know, we were talking about, there was sort of this period of escalation from around, you know, 96 to the mid 2000s or something, where the bar kept getting raised higher between as far as what you need to do in a match to excite people and everyone trying to top the next guy. And I think that probably shortened a lot of guys' careers and probably lives. I think there is a way of doing wrestling that is safe. Something you can do. As far as my kids, I would probably not encourage them to do it.
Fair enough.
But, I definitely have no problem with watching it. And
final two questions from somebody that's north of the border. My co-author and I, my co-host of the show and the co-author of the book, we're in Washington, D.C., and we're in America. So you're in Canada. Jinder's from Canada. Jinder is portrayed as a face in some parts of the world and a heel in other parts of the world. How are you and other Canadians accepting the Jinder Mahal WWE champion push?
I don't know. I think personally, like, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for, you know, Canada as a country. Personally, I've been a little bit perplexed by it. I do think it's cool that they're trying something different and, you know, trying to run with a guy who it was certainly surprising, and it's been surprising how it's progressed. I do question some of the decisions that have been made, you know, because you could make the argument that Jinder Mahal is a sort of inspirational character who got let go from the company. He worked his way back, and now he's on he's having this massive push. And, you know, it's inspirational in terms of the identity politics aspect, where he's an Indian Canadian. And I think you could be pushing that a lot more, but then you default to that kind of 80s, evil foreigner gimmick that they seem to can't ever get away from, whether it's him or Rusev or whoever is the evil foreign bad guy of the day. I think, you know, if they moved away from that stuff and focused on just him as a person, you could probably make it that a lot more people would be inspired and interested by it. But I do have a few questions about how they've handled his whole run. I don't totally understand it. But as I said, it is cool that they at least, you know, took a chance with this guy and are doing something that's different that no one really expected.
Finally, you seem to have a leader that most of the world likes. I and my fellow Americans do not have a leader that most of the world likes, but unlike your leader, my leader's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Therefore, have you viewed the last 2 years from a wrestling perspective? And if so, Have you informed any of your friends or fellow people that are worried about the state of the world that, like, don't worry, in wrestling storylines, he can't stay on top of the card forever? Or are you even able to separate the two in your mind? Because I am not. My co-author and I have been doing this for 2 years now, and literally every single thing has already happened in a WCW or WWF or WWE pay-per-view. Not one thing is new or original.
Yeah, well, just as a little disclaimer, I don't really like Trudeau either, but he's not the same level as evil and terrible heel as Trump. He's more of the sneaky, conniving heel. And so on a surface level, there's no real comparison, but I don't really like either. But anyway, and with Trump, it has been definitely hard to separate it from WWE, especially given their connections to the Trump campaign with the money that they gave to the campaign, and with Linda McMahon taking that sort of position within the not the cabinet, but within the sort of orbit of the administration.
She's technically part of the cabinet. She's the head of the league.
Yeah.
She's head of SBA. So yeah, she's technically part of the cabinet. Yeah,
which is representing one of the worst labor violating companies you could possibly imagine, which goes along with the general theme of appointing people that are horrible at their jobs to represent Americans in the cabinet. But it's absolutely been definitely difficult to separate the two. After the election, when everything was kind of really, more after the inauguration, when everything was ramping up, I did kind of say, you know what, I'm going to not watch this anymore. I don't like being complicit in this. I feel like I'm complicit by giving this company money, and I don't like it. And I kind of made a big show about it. And then I got that email from WWE Network at the end of the month saying, okay, you have one more day to renew your network subscription. I said, ah, damn it. And I couldn't quite get away from continuing to participate in watching the product. And I justified that by saying, look, yes, it's an evil company. It's been an evil company before Trump, and it will continue to be pretty evil and against pretty much everything that I stand for politically. But it does employ a lot of people that I like, that work really hard, that put their bodies on the line to try and entertain people. And when I'm contributing my $12 a month to the WWE Network, I feel like I'm contributing a little bit to their salaries, and they do work really hard for it and they deserve it. So that's how I justified it. But it is difficult in this era to separate the company from what they represent politically. And that's another part of tying back to Warrior. That's another thing that I wonder about, because, as shocking as some of the stuff he said was in the mid to late 2000s, it's not totally that much more shocking than like regular conservative discourse at the moment. You have to wonder at a certain point whether they just endorse this kind of stuff, because that's almost the only explanation when you rule out everything else.
The reason I reached out this week is your most recent post on Deadspin, the pro wrestling fan who wasted the FBI's time claiming he paid Oswald to kill JFK. In any way, was it surprising that there was a wrestling connection to the JFK murder?
It's not like it's something I expected. And then when it was actually my friend Chris Elner, who I do my podcast Between the Sheets with, he mentioned to me, like, after we were done recording, hey, CNBC reporter tweeted something about how there were, old wrestling results in there. I was like, wait, what? So I go look, and I see it's on the, it was in the first page. If you go to the archives page, mm-hmm. the first, page of the listings, it's in there. And then I look, because the date was mentioned, so I look, and I'm like, man, this is weird. So then I start kind of looking, okay, what's on here that I can look up and kind of go from there. And then I was able to kind of figure out what it was. And, we had some other information then about that was a little weird that they were getting the results from a confidential informant. And that's kind of how it came about.
So you just did some typical journalistic digging. You had some clues, and then you did the work. It's not complicated in any way, but you're covering a complicated business, considering a lot of these people aren't the most truthful people. Your recent Twitter output all about Anthem or TNA or whatever you want to call it is proof of that. So how do you cover wrestling from a journalistic standpoint when the words you're hearing aren't necessarily true?
There are a few ways to do it. I mean, personally, you know, one of the things that, you know, particular to me is to try to do as much document reporting and stuff, you know, sourced from court records or Freedom of Information Act or whatever is possible. Now, that's not never going to end up being the bulk of my work just because it, how it could limit you, you know, especially if you're sticking just to wrestling. But because no one else was really doing that specific to wrestling, that was kind of what helped me carve out my niche and, you know, cover the, you know, Hogan Gawker case when no one else around wrestling really was, and kind of everything just kind of went from there.
When you're covering something like Hogan and there's money behind it, do you ever maybe write with some trepidation?
I mean, maybe a little, but I've never gotten any angry letters from Charles Harder or anything like that.
Have you gotten any angry feedback from your personal Twitter account? Because you're pretty outspoken.
And... Yes.
Okay. What's a good example of some of the hatred you've received because you might not align with a certain wrestling point of view?
I mean, one thing I like to do is I'll occasionally say something that, how do I put this? I'll try to troll people, but I'll troll people by just kind of, not all the time, just occasionally. If I'm trying to have fun, I think I'll be fairly obvious about it. I'll say something that I do fully believe, but I might say it in a way just to kind of see how it messes with people. Like, I wrote just kind of just to see if people would notice that they were only responding to the phrasing and not the content. I said something like, everyone remember when the leader of the Bullet Club was the best wrestler in the world? That was nice. Something like that when AJ Styles was wrestling Finn Balor at the last WWE pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, because I run a little hot and cold on Kenny Omega. And and some people were like, you know, just kind of frustrated, but it's like, there were definitely people who were reacting to the idea you were saying someone was not the best wrestler in the world as if that's actually an insult. I mean, for a while, I mean, I see less of it now. There was a lot of pushback I got from people who thought that the Hogan case wasn't worth covering even. I mean, not even just as an opinion thing.
Okay, you're an American, I'm an American, you write about wrestling, I've written about wrestling and politics. To me, I have not been able to view Donald Trump in not a WWE storyline for the past 3 years, or pretty much since he's been in the Hall of Fame. Have you viewed it from that lens? And if you haven't, why not?
Do you mean just like in terms of like just your own mental picture of it? Or do you mean in terms of do I think that Trump is directly influenced by wrestling and what he's doing?
It's more the lens of, I think, I only see him as a character and not as a fully realized human being. The same way there's a warning or a description before everything on the network that says these views do not reflect, these are characters, blah, 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 blah. That's kind of how I view Trump, and that's how I've been able to rationalize it for the last few years without, you know, losing my mind. Have you viewed it in that way, or are you scared? Are you hopeful? Are you worried? How do you feel about all this? I know it's a very open-ended question here.
No, because I don't think we have any good indication that any of it's an act from him.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there are the arguments that he was a Democrat and this came relatively out of nowhere when he went with the birtherism and stuff, at least, you know, from his friends, mm-hmm. like in New York social circles and stuff. But there have always been signs of this. I mean, you know, people go over this all the time. There's, you know, a personal favorite of mine is, I forget which of the Trump bios it's from, but I believe it's on the infamous ski trip to Aspen with Ivana, where Marla Maples kind of secretly also went. And, you know, that led to the actual divorce. He remarks to someone else there that what he's taking from the
the two women, very publicly and loudly, battling about this, was that he must be the most awesome guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's his takeaway. So you have things like this, and Central Park 5. Whether as far as the racism tip and just the weird obsessiveness in general, I don't think it's really, fair is the right word, but I don't think it's accurate to treat it that way. I mean, I think it's just clearly a guy who got old and lost some faculties, and then that facilitated the weirder political changes.
I'm not
as far as his personality, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most of it's always been there.
Okay. It wasn't so much that he's putting on a character now, but he doesn't... The same way that in wrestling there are characters that they don't necessarily believe it. It just helps if you believe the gimmick. These are things that he believes in, but he doesn't really care. He's just doing it because he knows it will play to that audience. I'm not justifying the behavior, and it completely...
No, I don't.
And yes, the Central Park 5 thing is probably the clearest example of decades of racism. Hell, you can go back even a decade further, and the only reason why we know about him, the first time he got sued, was because of housing discrimination.
Right.
He's got a long history of this stuff. That being said, if he can make more money, if he can get a better crowd reaction by not saying racist things, I think he might.
I think I would agree with that to a point. Like, at this stage, would he necessarily be able to fully control himself? I don't know. But I think there is a performative aspect to it, yes. How big or how small and how much it actually changes things, I don't know. But I do agree it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the place where it's probably biggest, but I also think he does believe some of this, though, too, is like, with things like healthcare,
mm-hmm.
like I don't necessarily think he's a Paul Ryan, I actually want to get rid of Medicaid and kill all the poors type. Like, I think it's just part of it is just the dumbness and him not understanding any of this. I think that's part of it, and then the rest is the lying and just promising things he won't be able to deliver or doesn't know if he can deliver. I think it's all kind of in there. And the desperate need to be liked.
100% agree with that. And that makes me think that he's Vince. I don't think Vince realizes most of the things he's doing, and he doesn't... He thinks he's going to be able to follow through, but at the end of the day, he clearly cannot.
Yeah, whether it's just how constantly he changes his mind on storylines again, which apparently these days a lot of it is forgetfulness from what they had planned in the weeks before, or some of his, wackier business ideas, World Bodybuilding Federation, the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and those, WBF is going back over 25 years. So it's not like this is a thing from him being older. And with Vince, though, you also have the whole thing of that he very clearly did not want to be seen as the wrestling guy. Go ahead.
Well, it's the exact same thing with Trump. I mean, he's a guy from Queens. He's never going to be accepted by high society in Manhattan, but he can't accept that. The same way Vince is always going to be the trailer park kid.
Right. Vince probably has some of the same, performative understanding, this is how a rich person acts. He doesn't do it to the degree of Trump with the insane decor of his house or the inside of his planes and stuff where it's like... There's no way he actually likes this.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly just doing it because that's what he thinks he's supposed to do. But there's some of that with Vince. And then, the one thing, and I don't know if you know the story or not, that really is probably the closest as far as they're the same person. And, okay, so I knew there was a similarity here. But I didn't know how close. Vince does the well done steak with ketchup thing too.
What?
Yeah. So I had known that one of his favorite meals was to have a steak wrap with ketchup. And I had known that. I mentioned it to a friend of mine who had worked in WWE, and like he was like, "Oh no, he actually does the Trump well done steak with ketchup thing."
Why?
That is preferred way to eat steak. I don't know. I don't know if it's the extremist Trump where he's even doing it with, you know, super expensive aged steaks, but that is definitely Vince's preferred way of eating steak. Sometimes in like a wrap, but sometimes also.
Wow, that's fascinating. I don't know why that's so fascinating to me. It's really not. It totally makes sense. I mean, if he grew up that poor, he's probably getting cheap cuts of meat, so you want to overcook it and then pour a bunch of like sugary sauce on it, which is ketchup. And I get it, but it shouldn't be surprising. I'm completely shocked. I think it's fair to say that you are left-leaning.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's fair to say that professional wrestling caters to people that lean on every side. It's not just one type of person. But I think the stereotype is that it is one type of person. You're a highly educated man who gets paid to use your words for a living. How do you justify mm-hmm. your love of professional wrestling to people that think it's just for carny folk?
These days, it's not as much of an issue. It's hard to figure out exactly what the tipping point was, but the more it's become kind of entrenched in as kind of a geek culture thing, and then also more and more people who grew up as wrestling fans and didn't gain a disdain for it being in positions of power on major sports websites at ESPN, etc., have made it that from a media point of view, that doesn't really happen anymore. So then how much of that's just influenced the general public and how much is just finally WWE being upfront about it being a show? Hard to say, but I mean, those are the big factors in that. I mean, in terms of storylines and still trying to go towards the lowest common denominator, there's definitely some of that. It's not as pronounced as it could have been in the past. But there's always an element to that, you know, specific to Vince McMahon that there isn't necessarily in other places. So how often do I even need to justify it these days? The way I can describe it to people is as like a weird live action puppet show.
Okay.
In that you get to cheer and boo, and it's about the experience and the fun of it and the clearly defined roles and that type of thing. There's nothing else really like it. So it's unique, and you get that's how you get things out of it that I think you don't necessarily get out of other types of entertainment, even if they have better acting or whatever, or even from actual competitive sports that have, I don't know, elements that might be in pro wrestling, whether it's MMA, gymnastics, boxing, whatever.
The difference between pro wrestling and MMA and a lot of other sports is, well, the people, the higher-ups, not just the higher-ups, everyone, tends to lean right, and you lean left, and I'd say the roster right now for WWE is pretty much in the middle. There's a lot of people on the left, a lot of people on the right, a lot of libertarians. Have you found it more difficult to watch the product or to cover the product when you know that one of the family members is part of the cabinet and that the family donated $5 million to the Trump campaign?
Kind of.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, it's less the WWE part almost that troubles me, and more just how much of major televised wrestling in the United States has Trump connections. So right now, I guess it's changing a little bit, but your televised wrestling is, you know, WWE, then the second biggest at this point is Ring of Honor, which is owned by and syndicated on Sinclair Broadcasting Station, which, of course, you know, is kind of the Trump house organ these days, even more so than Fox. Then Lucha Underground, which was on the El Rey Network, and appears to have just ended, but still was something with a national prominence of sorts.
that was produced by Mark Burnett. Mm-hmm. You know, producer of the Impressionist, sort of friend of Trump.
Yeah.
So there were those, and then finally, you know, you have Impact Wrestling, which I don't think has any connections, and one of their current heads of creative, Sanjay Dutt, is fairly outspoken as a liberal on Twitter. But when you have so much, and these days the audience, like you said, it's a cross-section, but the audience is leaning more and more liberal probably than it used to. You get it all feels very weird. And it's, I also just try to figure out how much of it is a coincidence that this is all going on. You know, Sinclair didn't start Ring of Honor. They bought it when the owner was trying to get out of get out from under his losses. But it just feels like an awful lot, and it's more just kind of trying to figure out how much that could influence things and just the weirdness of it, I think, that frustrates me. Because this might be cynical. I mean, it is cynical, but it might be overly cynical. Like, and part of this probably does come from covering pro wrestling. And then also stuff like Weinstein. I know so many, like, executives and stuff must be doing terrible things that I don't even know if the politics part of it upsets me, unless it's something, you know, like a Chick-fil-A or a Hobby Lobby where they just get, you know, where you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally do. Let's end on a positive note here. What is one wrestler, be it WWE, Ring of Honor, whatever, big, small, little, doesn't matter, that's giving you hope for both the future of the product and the future of the nation? So AJ Styles is clearly off the table. No flattery.
Yes, 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 yes. For the future of wrestling, I mean, that, you know, his role in helping build the independent scene, you know, in the last few years before he went to WWE, I mean, that is a big deal, even if his politics and beliefs about homosexuals and all that are not great, to say the least. But who would give me the most, though, as far as for the future of pro wrestling as a product? I would say, at least on the independent scene, it would probably be Matt Riddle and Keith Lee.
Okay.
At least among the more prominent guys. You know, and in terms of being able to make a full-time living and also just kind of making themselves stars on their own. Although Riddle did have, you know, the exposure as a UFC fighter. In WWE, I think Braun Strowman, because even though he was kind of a favorite of management, he was a guy who, when they decided to kind of strap the rocket to him and make him a bigger deal, he was arguably the worst guy on all of their rosters, you know, on their different brands and stuff. And he was someone who just had to kind of, he was someone who had to sink or swim, and he swam. And sometimes that works out better than keeping someone in their farm system forever. And that gives me hope that, you know, if they need to do that in the future, that now that they have so many talented wrestlers on their roster that someone like that can learn from, you're not really ever going to have a situation where there's someone who's not really acceptable as a performer anymore. Because there's no one really, there are very few people that are outright bad. So, and he's just such a fun character in the way they're doing things with him. So there's that. I mean, as far as politically, I don't even know what the answer would be to that. I mean, other than, I mean, it definitely seems like, though, like in general, you're seeing wrestling fans more willing to get behind different, you know, races and ethnicities than you would have, you know, in decades past, which mm-hmm. it's a change that you'd expect, but given other things that are going on, you'd be a little cautious. But it seems like wrestling overall is trending in the right way in terms of what the fan base wants. And to a much slower degree, who gets pushed. But you got to remember with wrestling fans too, compared to, you know, whether it's other things at its time slot or just a lot of TV program in general. WWE heavily over-indexes in terms of black and Latino viewers. Which I think people don't usually realize, especially if they're not fans. There is a much bigger, the fan base is so much more diverse than people realize. So I think that's a component to it too. And I see the much more hardcore fans, I think, are getting more diverse too. I know I'm not answering your question directly at this point anymore, but I feel like this is the best way I could kind of get across the sentiment I have.
Perfectly fine. One of the things that you just mentioned that I think needs to be noticed or should be mentioned is like the WWE talks about every single mention they ever have with mainstream culture, except that the President of the United States is in their Hall of Fame. That is the proof that they have a diverse fan base, that it's not just one type of person from one type of state.
Oh, that they're definitely afraid of the reaction of if they talked about Trump or they talked about co-founder and former CEOs, Linda McMahon's, you know, being in the cabinet. Yeah, that they have just completely shut up about him, really going back into the, I guess, I'm trying to think if he ever got mentioned even once he announced, but...
Well,
once the general election started, I mean, that was it.
The only time he was mentioned for sure was when Jerry King Lawler said, vote for Trump and this was like right before the first primary. And then he got a bunch of death threats on Twitter, and then that was that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that was a lie. Actual final question. If you had to put $5 down, would you bet that Keith Lee ever actually ends up in the WWE?
I mean, it seems like for him it is a goal, so I got to think it happens eventually unless he, you know, some of these guys enjoy being able to, you know, work for themselves in a way, you know, even though they'd still officially be independent contractors in WWE, you're not really one. I see it happening eventually with him, yeah.
Okay. I want you to be right, and I don't think you are.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this, because Vince McMahon's idea of a big guy is not to move around like that.
Also, just like, he's going to be a comedy character, but like, that dude has like, he's like Kevin Owens, but 100 pounds heavier.
Yeah, and I see what you're thinking too. His demeanor is ripe for Vince wanting him to do comedy. Like,
yeah.
The way he's such an easygoing guy, even though he usually takes it in like more of a serious direction, is something that could easily kind of get screwed with in WWE. Yes, I'd absolutely agree with that.